2 weeks ago, we were in Isaiah chapter 42, and we made mention of the fact that this is a section of prophecy concerning Christ, concerning end times. There's some near-term prophecy. We're going to find out in a couple of chapters that God's actually going to name the conqueror of the Chaldean Empire by name, hundreds of years before it happened. Because, see, God's omniscient. But last lesson we had on this, last message we had on this, we talked about the office of Christ. And what we need to do is we need to consider the ministry of Christ because He's God's servant. We see His person. He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He came as a meek and lowly man, the God-man. But He's coming back to reign. You see His personality, His power. Verses 6 and 7 talked about His purpose. And then, you know, we should praise Him. When you consider the office of Christ and the ministry of Christ, it should cause us to break out in praise. The other night I mentioned that when we're singing, that you can't frown when you're singing. Boy, when we think about Christ, we just can't help but praise Him. And then in verses 9 through 17, we see His prophecy. It's a new thing. Makes your ears tingle. All the messages that we hear and we read God's Word, it should make our ears tingle. And so we could be like John says, even so come, Lord Jesus. We see that He gives us a new song. God changes us. He changes our direction. He changes our outlook. He changes our singing. And that there's a new judgment because we will see God as who He truly is, Savior. And we're going to see more of that tonight. But then the rest of the chapter dealt with God's people, whether or not they're servants or not. And we can ask that from the church. You know if you're serving God or not. Amen. And if you're not serving God, why not? If He's done all this for you, then what are we doing for Him? You know, that's the expression of love. He loved us, and we can love Him back. But what was the people's condition? We're going to see more of this tonight. They were blind and deaf. They were self-righteous. They were not understanding the law or the Old Testament. They were destitute when they thought that they had everything. Sounds like the Laodicean church. Sounds like today, doesn't it? They were disobedient. And then God is sending them prophets and they're ignoring His correction. See, we've already seen that God is a patient God, but He will not always strive forever. So tonight when we see what the office of Christ is, we're going to see that God restores His people. Once again, this is a prophecy about God's chosen people. It's specifically about Israel. But it has application to us. And we need to understand that God is the only hope for restoration and righteousness. For restoration and righteousness. So the question really tonight that we can answer is, how do we build trust and faith in God? How do we do that? Well, we could go to look at James chapter 1. Our faith must be tried. There's things going to come in our life, and we have a choice to follow God's way or follow our way. And I've come to a conclusion, when I follow my way, I mess up. When I follow God's way, it's a whole lot better. So, in the first 13 verses, we see the building of faith. Now, once again, God is using Isaiah to talk to His people. He's trying to get them to turn back. There is one more good king coming in the southern kingdom. But the issue about faith is this. Faith in God can only be possessed by those who have been redeemed. God is a God of relationships. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wanted to have a relationship with Adam and Eve in the garden. And we saw that He was looking for them after they had sinned. He wants us to walk with Him. He wants us to cast our care on Him. But if you don't know Christ, if you don't know Christ, you won't have that. So look at verse 1 of Isaiah 43. It says, "But now, thus saith the Lord." So He's talking about the office of Christ, who the Messiah is going to be. "But now, thus saith the Lord, that what? Created thee, O Jacob." Now we know it's talking about Israel. So when He's talking about Jacob, He's talking about Israel. "And He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." See, there's two things that we need to understand here about God here. First of all, He's the Creator. We didn't evolve from some slime. He made us, okay? The second thing is He's remade us through salvation. He's formed us, but He's also reformed us too and redeemed us. And so He says here, because of this, He says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee." You know, think about it. Jacob wasn't a very... He wasn't like Enoch, okay? He messed up. He did all sorts of things wrong. He's just like us. But God redeemed him. Changed his name from Jacob to Israel. See, God needs to change our name from sinner to saint. And so He says, "I call thee by thy name." God is an individual God. We don't have a group salvation. We have an individual salvation. And He says, "He's called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." You know, God's word doesn't change. The New Testament says we're not our own. God says here, He says, "You're mine." Nothing has changed. Faith can only be possessed by those who have been redeemed. You can have faith in a whole lot of things, but if you don't have saving faith, there is nothing there. Peter says that beside all this, in all diligence, add to your what?
Faith.
Faith. And then he gives knowledge and love and all these other things. The second thing is that faith is built by experiencing God's power. How can you fish if you never get out in the water? How can you go through trial if you just lock yourself in your room? See, we need to live an active faith. So faith is built by experiencing God's power, verses 2 and 3. It says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers they shall not overflow thee." God is using two things that they should be very familiar with them. The parting of the Red Sea. That's a big thing. God did that. Why? To redeem His people. You know, I haven't thought about that. Here you see the Red Sea part. And then the command is to go walk through it. And you go, Yeah, it takes faith. Absolutely takes faith. And because what would they think? Well, it's going to last long enough. And then it says, "Through the rivers they shall not overflow thee." When they came to the promised land, and they finally came after the 40 years, what happened? Jordan had overflowed his banks. And once again, the people walked into the promised land on dry ground. On dry ground. He said, "When they pass the water, I will be with thee. And through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." I wonder if the three Hebrew children thought about this. It was written. They knew. Why? Why is this? "For I am the Lord thy God." See, we need to realize who God really is to us. Who is He to us? Is He your God? I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel. God has a holy position in Israel's nation and should have a holy position in our lives. Thy what?
Savior.
You can't get through the junk that you're going through, Israel, unless you follow me. We can't get through the junk we're going through in this world, Christian, unless we're following God.
Right.
I gave Egypt for thy ransom. Remember when they left? The Egyptians were very keen on getting them gone after the Passover and the death of the firstborn. And they said, you know, it says God spoiled the Egyptians because they just went. They said, can we have some stuff? Oh, here, take it all. Take it all. Israel, I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba before who? Thee. So the first thing we need to understand is faith can only be possessed by those who have been redeemed. Faith is built by experiencing God's power. In verse 4, faith is built by understanding we are precious in God's eyes. See, when God looks down on us, what does He see? We can see what the Scripture says about it, and we need to understand how God sees us, and that should cause us to act right. We are the apple. Israel was the apple of God's eye. He says, I see you as this. In verse 4, since thou was what? Precious in my sight. Never said that God doesn't care for you. Never say that. See, Christ gave everything up for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should what? Not perish, but have everlasting life. Why? Because mankind is precious. And it's like, and His chosen people are precious in His sight. Thou hast been honorable. See, that's sanctification. When we understand that Christ's blood cleanses us from all sin, when God looks down, God the Father looks down at us, He sees us with Christ's blood on us. Sinless. Even though we're down here and dirty and doing all this other stuff, God, from a positional viewpoint, sees us as sanctified. And He says, and I have what? Love thee. You know, if we understand that God thinks that we're precious, and God wants us to be honorable, and God loves us, therefore will I give what? Men for thee, and people for thy life. He says, I'll take care of your issues. So faith can only be possessed by those who have been redeemed. Faith is built by experiencing God's power. Faith is built by understanding we are precious in God's eyes. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Fourthly, faith is trusting in future restoration. You know, we praise God for answering prayer now. But just think of all the things that are yet to come. You know, Paul says, I compare the present suffering not to be compared with the glory that's to come. John saw the glory of God. Oh, we need to look forward in future restoration. Verse 5. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up. And to the south, keep not back. See, there's nowhere on earth that God can't find you. There's nowhere on earth that God can't bring you back. And this is the near term is coming back from captivity. But this hasn't happened yet. This is a future thing. And so it says, Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. even everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have what? Made him. Going back to verse 1. Now, you know, we always think, well, I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. I got everything under control. No. Why are we here? Why are we been redeemed? We've been redeemed to do good works. We do good works to bring glory to God. That was God's purpose for Israel. That's God's purpose for us. Because he's the only one worthy of glory. So faith is trusting in future restoration. Now, in order for this to happen, there had to be a change in Israel. Faith is no longer being blind and deaf to God. We need to realize that only God is the possessor of truth. In verses 8 and 9, it says, bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. And what's going to happen? We're going to see and we're going to hear. Let all nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. What is God saying here? He's saying, you bring the best that you think of, you bring everything that you think of, and you say that that's the truth that you're going to live by, and I'm going to show you my truth. And you're going to have to pay, because you're blinded by your own truth. You hear your own truth, but you're ignoring the real truth. And isn't that what's happening today?
Yeah.
That's happening today, right? People make truth what they think it is. Instead of what truth is. No different than what Isaiah was going through here. So faith is no longer being blind to death. It's realizing that God is the only possessor of truth. It's realizing that only God is God. We've gone through this. That was the problem in Malachi with the priest. They were marrying wives that were serving strange gods. And it was detracting their service. Because you get pulled away, you can't serve God in the world. You only serve one. In verse 10, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye might may know and believe me and understand that I am he. There it is again. We need to understand that he is the Lord our God. He says, I am he. Okay? Before me, there was what? No God. Formed, neither shall there be after me. There's only one way, name for salvation. There's one Lord, one faith, one spirit, one body. It's all of God. So we need to realize that only God is the possessor of truth. We need to realize that only God is God. And thirdly, we need to realize that only God provides a Savior. In verses 11 to 12, it says, I am the what? Lord. And it's all capitalized. That's the word they translate to Yahweh. Which is the same as I am. That's how he introduced himself to Moses. When Moses asked, he says, who do I say you are? He says, I am that I am. He says, even I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Amen. Why do we keep on looking for other answers when we have the truth? Why do we keep on looking for satisfaction in something else when we have the God of all provision?
Amen.
I have declared and have what?
Saved.
And I have showed when there was no strange God among you, therefore you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Okay, so here's the deal. Why are you blind and deaf? Because you have a strange God in your life. Because you think there's other gods out there and there's other truth. He says this, how do we hear his declaration when there's no strange God among us? And he's not talking about singular you. He's talking about plural you. It works for singular and it. You want to see God and declare his works, you've got to see him. Have no strange God in your life. Church, same way for us. No member can have one. And have what? Saved. Why? When there's no strange God. And it showed. We see God's power work. When? When there's no strange God. If thy eye be single, then your whole body will be what? Full of light. When there was no strange God, therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. When we have no strange God in our life, we understand that he is truth, then we will be his witnesses. Israel will be his witnesses when they do the right thing. We can't witness to the world when we're doing the wrong thing. Okay? So faith is no longer being blind and deaf to God when you realize that only God provides a Savior. Fourthly, faith is no longer being blind and deaf to God when you realize that only God can deliver. You know, it wearies God. I know it wearies God. When we have this issue, and he has a solution, and we don't look at it. You know, remember when the Israelites went across the Red Sea, they went 3 days into the wilderness, and then it came this water. And this water was bitter. He said, what are we going to do? And you know the answer? It was right by the water, there was a tree. And he said, put the tree in the water and it makes it drinkable. The answer was there all the time. All they had to do was just use it. See, in verse 13, the first part, he says, yea, before the day was, I am. And then he goes on that the only person that can stop God is God himself. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. We see that in Romans chapter 8. No man could pluck me out of my hand. Christ says, because my Father, which gave them me, is stronger than all. And in verse 13, the last part, it says, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work. And who shall let it or who shall stop it? So see, Isaiah, God is encouraging Isaiah to encourage the people to increase their faith. What did the disciples say when they went and it says they couldn't cast out the demon, they couldn't get the power of God. They said, what? Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Oh, that should be our prayer when we leave here. Increase our faith. When we wake up in the morning, increase my faith today. Increase my faith. Verses 14 through 21, we see the blessings of faith promised. In verses 14 through 17, we see future deliverance for Israel. It says, thus saith the Lord, your who? Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. You know, when Cyrus comes and takes over Babylon, the only way they could escape was in ships down the Euphrates River, down to the Persian Gulf. That was the only way of escape. This is happening in the future. We have gone from the Assyrians, they're gone now. Now there's a in-between time, and the Chaldeans are coming. There's 70 years of captivity. And then we're seeing the end of that right here. Well, God's an awesome God. He's already talking about how this is all going to happen. He says, I am the Lord. Have you kind of got this as a theme tonight? I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Listen to me. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Verses 16 and 17 says, thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. Remember that Red Sea thing again? Which bringeth forth the chariot and horse. Hey, even those Egyptians didn't do very well when they followed. You know why? Because they didn't have faith in God. The Israelites went through on dry land because why? They had faith in God. They still had to exercise faith. They had to get into that thing and watch the water on both sides. Which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are what? Extinct. They are quenched as tow. So God's saying, look, understand, I created you. I formed you. I'm your Savior. I'm your King. I am the Lord. And I want to take care of you. I want to take care of you in things that you don't even know of yet. I want to take care of you in enemies that you haven't even seen yet. I'm going to take care of you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. There's a new way. In verses 18 and 19, remember ye not the former things. Neither consider the things of old. Paul said something like this. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark of the prize of high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That is a secret for Christian success. Forget the failures of the past. Forget the lifestyle of the past. Go from the point where God's changed you and go forward looking to Him. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Run our race with patience. Okay? Behold, I will do a what? A new thing. His mercies are what? New every morning. Every day in Colossians, we're supposed to put on the new man. The inner is renewed day by day. He says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? You'll see it. You'll see it. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I'll change everything that needs to change to make you successful. I'll change everything that needs to change to make you reach the goal that God set for you. I'll do everything to make a change so you realize that I am your God. I'll do everything to make the change to realize that I'm your Savior. God's willing to do that for us. You know why? Because He's the Lord. And you know why? Because He loves us. So the blessing of the faith promise for future deliverance, it's a new way and God's provision. Verse 20. You know, sometimes I look at the animal world and there's some smart animals out there, smarter than humans. There's humans that do incredibly dumb things that animals wouldn't even consider. Okay? Verse 20 says, the beast of the field shall what? Honor me. Okay? The dragons and the owls. Because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. See, God's going to do everything he can to change the environment to make you successful. The animals realize it. You know what this all is? It's God's grace, folks. It's God's grace that we're created. It's God's grace that we're saved. It's God's grace that we're directed. It's God's grace that we have a future. It's God's grace that we're delivered. It's all about God's grace. And we can start seeing that here. God's power. You'll get to see God's power. This people have I formed for who? Myself. They shall show forth my praise. It hasn't happened yet. There's been little inklings in Israel's history when they came back and they rebuilt the temple and they laid the foundation. They cried and they rejoiced. When they rebuilt the walls, they rejoiced, but it only lasted for a day. God's talking about doing things in our lives that we'll rejoice and we'll be happy forever. But he comes back and puts up the 1,000-year reign. It's going to be forever. When Christ came through the gate a week, you know, in the last week of his head, they cried out, Hosanna, but what happened 3 days later? Yep, exactly. They will. Folks, in the 1,000-year reign, we're going to be praising God. When we get to heaven, we're going to be praising God. Let's get a head start.
Amen.
Let's get a head start right now and just start praising God for who he's done and what he's done for us. We get a head start. So we see the building of faith, we see the blessing of the faith, and the rest of the chapter talks about the blindness to faith. You know, it's amazing that you have this answer right in front of us and you don't do it. I build furniture and I look at the instructions and I don't understand. And then my wife will come in and say, oh, it's like this. And I go, yep, you're right. And haven't you seen that? You struggle and struggle, and then all of a sudden you get this eureka moment. Okay? What we need to do is we need to keep struggling through, stop struggling through life and just have a eureka moment with Christ. And say, yep, I should have done it that way. See, the blindness of faith happens, and here's how you get blind to faith. Talk about how you can build up your faith. Now let's look about how you get blind to faith. It occurs when God is not meaningful in your life. Hey, that's what we've been seeing in Malachi, hadn't it? Oh, the chores of sacrifices. Oh, the chores of the law. All this stuff. It's just so hard to do. In verse 22, here's an indictment against Israel. It says, but thou hast not called upon me. Don't we do that ourselves? We want to solve it ourselves, and then we bring God in as a last resort. He says, but thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. So you want faith not to work in your life? Then you don't think God's important. The second thing is, when you don't become his disciple, when you don't grow in faith, when you don't grow, when you don't let the Holy Spirit control, when you don't walk in the Spirit. In verses 23 and 24, it says, thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor weary thee with incense. The stuff, my commandments are not grievous. They're just to point out things that we need to fix in our lives. Thou hast brought no sweet cane with money, Neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve for thy what? Sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. Instead of doing the right thing, we delight in doing the wrong thing. And then we don't feel sorry or remorse for it. And the only time we feel remorse for our sin is when we get caught. When someone finds out external to us, the Holy Spirit's going, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. And you know it's wrong, your conscience says it's wrong. The only time we get fixed is when someone comes up and tells us that it's wrong. Oh. Blindness to faith occurs when God is not meaningful. Blindness to faith occurs when spiritual discipline is not exercised. Blindness to faith occurs when repentance is not sought. Verse 25, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake. Not for your sake, for his sake. And will not remember thy sins. Why do we try to find solace through a 12-step program? Or why do we want to try to find solace through trying to make some sort of retribution? Fine, all sin is a sin against God. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. He says, you regard iniquity in your heart. The Lord will not hear you. It occurs when God is forgotten. So I tell you what, when God becomes not meaningful, and when spiritual discipline is not exercised, and when you don't repent for what you're doing, you're going the wrong way. And just like James says, you'll forget what you were. And church roles are filled with people that say they're Christians, and they're not here. They're not here. I praise God for each one of you. You're here. You haven't forgotten God. But you know something? It's easy. Put me in remembrance. Don't forget God's benefits out of Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord and forget not his what? Benefits. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be what? Justified. And lastly, it occurs when spiritual leadership is debased. And we're seeing that in Malachi. And that's why it's a great parallel study right now. Because you see what a corrupt priesthood does, it corrupts the nation. Why do we talk about spiritual leadership? Because verse 27 says, thy first father hath sinned. Right there. I don't understand why people come and they say, I just don't know what to do with my kids. I can't get them to follow God. And my answer is this. Are you following God?
Amen.
How can we expect our kids to do something that we are not doing?
Amen.
Amen? See, we have to be an example. We have to be an example to them. Thy first father sinned, and thy teachers have what? Transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary, and have given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to reproaches. So God's saying three things here. He says, look, he says, you have faith. You can build on this faith and have a relationship with me. These are the blessings that you can get if you follow faith. But if you're blind to it, this is what's going to happen. And this is why you're blind to it. This is why you're blind to it. So has God restored your life? It goes beyond. It goes beyond simple salvation. It goes into the way that we live. Has he restored that in our life? That's the question tonight. It has to come from faith. He's the only God. He's the only one to have faith in. Let's have faith in God tonight. Amen? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this time. Lord, I ask for you this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts and help us, Lord, just to live for you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.